All right, so let's jump right in to this deep dive. We're looking at a Nebraska Supreme Court case today. It's called Pachinko v. Rogers Construction, Inc.
Yeah, this one's a real head scratcher when it comes to figuring out who's actually responsible when, when things go wrong on someone else's property.
That's right. And specifically, we're talking about this whole idea of assumption of risk. Like, when does someone really assume a risk? And what does a court even look at to decide that?
Exactly.
We've got all the legal docs right here in front of us, straight from the court. So we're going right to the source to unpack this Pachinko case and hopefully make things a little clearer for everyone.
Definitely.
So to set the stage, paint us a picture of what happened here.
Okay, so picture this. It all starts with Jerry Pachinko, a sales agent for Rogers Realty Company.
Okay.
His job, showing off these model homes built by, you guessed it, Rogers Construction.
So he's spending a lot of time on these construction
Oh,
sites.
absolutely. It's part of the gig.
Right.
Now, fast forward to March 2001. Pachunk is doing his usual thing, checking out a model home that's still being built, making sure it's all ready for potential buyers.
Makes sense.
But here's the catch. It's early spring in Nebraska. What does that mean?
Mud season.
You got it.
Yeah.
Mud everywhere. So Rogers Construction, they put down this temporary walkway made of lumber, to help people get around.
Not practical.
Yeah, seems like a good idea, right? But there's this one little hiccup getting from the walkway up to the front door. It's like a 16-inch step up to the stoop.
Okay, not a tiny step.
No, not insignificant. And to bridge this gap, they just kind of slapped down this angled wooden board, basically a makeshift ramp.
Probably not the sturdiest thing in the world.
Probably not. And here's where it gets even more complicated. Pachunka, he had a pre-existing back injury.
That changes things.
Right. He
That's
even
all.
testified that even that 16-inch step, it was a big deal for him, given his back. So this ramp wasn't just a convenience. It was his only way to really get into the house comfortably.
So we kind of had to use it.
Pretty much. And to his credit, he used it to get into the house just fine. But then on his way out, he slipped and fell on that very same ramp.
Ouch.
Yeah. Messed up his ankle pretty badly.
Okay, so naturally, Pachunka decides to sue Rogers Construction. What's his argument?
His argument was basically that Rogers Construction was negligent, that they didn't take enough care in setting up this walkway and ramp situation, and that's what led to his injury.
And what did Rogers Construction say to that?
Well, they pulled out a classic legal move. They brought up what's called an affirmative defense. In this case, they claimed assumption of risk, basically saying, even if we messed up a little, Pachunka knew the ramp was risky, used it anyway, so he took on the risk of getting hurt.
It's that you knew the danger, you did it anyway, argument.
Yep, pretty much.
So how did the initial trial go?
So Pachunka, he actually tried to get the judge to completely throw out this whole assumption of risk defense, arguing it didn't really apply to his situation. The trial court didn't buy it. Let the jury consider it. And guess what? The jury sided with Rogers Construction.
Really?
Yeah.
So, case closed.
Not so fast. Pachunka wasn't giving up that easily. He appealed all the way to the Nebraska Supreme Court. And that's where things get super interesting from a legal standpoint.
Wait, let's dive into that. What were the big legal questions the Supreme Court had to grapple with here?
There were two main ones. First, should the trial court have even let the jury consider this assumption of risk defense? And second, was it a mistake to not give the jury some more specific instructions about what voluntary really means in this context?
Okay, I see. So on that first question, why did the Supreme Court think maybe it was wrong to let the jury even think about the assumption of risk defense?
Well, they took a hard look at what assumption of risk actually means, legally speaking.
Okay.
They said, generally, you need three things for it to stick. One, the person has to know about the specific danger. Two, they have to understand what that danger actually means. And three, they have to choose to put themselves in that danger's way.
So knowledge, understanding, and a voluntary choice.
Exactly.
It sounds like Rogers Construction could easily say, well, Pachinko saw the ramp, probably figured it could be slippery, and still used it anyway. So what's the problem?
The problem is that third part, the whole voluntary thing.
Right.
And the Nebraska Supreme Court really hammered on this. They said, for assumption of risk to fly in court, the choice to face that risk, it can't be some half-hearted, well, I guess I have to kind of choice. It's got to be a real, genuine, voluntary decision.
And this is where Pachunka's back problem becomes really important,
You
perhaps.
got it. The Supreme Court said, look, his back condition basically forced him to use that ramp. He couldn't just hop up that 16-inch step like it was nothing.
Makes sense.
Plus, they looked at whether he had any other reasonable way to get into the house.
And did he?
Well, Rogers Construction said he could have gone through the garage, but the Supreme Court wasn't having it.
What?
They said using the garage wasn't a reasonable alternative. Think about it. The whole point of having that walkway and ramp was to give people a safe path around all that mud. Making Pachanka trudge through the muck to use some other entrance, well, it defeats the whole purpose.
Right, you set up a safe path, you kind of expect people to use it.
Exactly. So the Supreme Court said, I'm quoting here, assumption of risk is not voluntary if the defendant's tortious conduct leaves the plaintiff no reasonable alternative.
So they're saying even if someone knows a risk is there, but they're basically forced to take it because of the way the other party, the defendant, set things up, then legally they didn't truly assume that risk.
Exactly. That's a really important distinction. Now let's talk about that second issue the Supreme Court had with the trial. Remember the whole jury instruction thing?
Refresh my memory. What was Pachanka asking for with those instructions?
He wanted the jury to hear very specifically that assumption of risk only applies if there was a reasonable alternative. The instruction would have said, point blank, if the person who got hurt had no other reasonable way to avoid the risk, well, then they can't be considered to have voluntarily taken on that risk.
Okay, and why did the Supreme Court think this instruction was so important for the jury to hear?
Well, because jury instructions are the rules of the game, you know. They help the jury apply the law to what they heard during the trial. And if those instructions are missing something or they're misleading, the jury might not get the law right when they make their decision.
I see.
In this case, the Supreme Court thought that without hearing about this reasonable alternative idea, the jury might have just stopped their thinking at, well, Pachanka used the ramp, so he must have assumed the risk, without considering if he had any other real options.
Right, because using the ramp and choosing to take the risk are two different things.
Exactly. And the Supreme Court agreed that the trial court should have given the jury that instruction. They said juries should only be told about legal ideas that actually match up with what was presented in the case. And in this case, the evidence pretty strongly suggested that Pachanka didn't really have a choice because of the lack of a reasonable alternative.
So because of these two errors,
mm-hmm.
letting the jury consider assumption of risk in the first place, and then not giving them the right instructions, what did the Supreme Court ultimately do?
They said, nope, do over. They reversed the trial court's judgment and sent the whole case back for a new trial.
Wow. So Pachanka got another chance to argue his case, this time with the Supreme Court's interpretation of law in play. That's huge. But zooming out a bit, what are the bigger lessons here? What does Pachanka v. Rogers Construction teach us that goes beyond just this one case?
It really clarifies this idea of voluntariness when it comes to assuming a risk. The court is saying, just because someone knows there's a danger doesn't mean they automatically chose to take that risk on. You have to look at whether they had any reasonable way to avoid it.
It makes you think about all sorts of situations. I mean, the court even mentioned jobs where employees have to do risky things as part of their work.
Right. Like, are they really choosing to take on those risks if their job basically requires it? This case suggests maybe not.
That's a fascinating point.
Yeah. And for legal folks out there, this case is a big reminder to really dig deep when someone claims assumption of risk. You have to figure out if the person who got hurt really had a free choice or if they were kind of stuck because of what the defendant did or didn't do. It also shows how important it is to make sure those jury instructions are crystal clear and cover all the important legal points.
Totally agree. So you mentioned another case earlier, Dowell's Tennis Ranch v. Jones. How does that one fit into all of this?
Ah, good point. In Dowell's Tennis Ranch, the court found that the person did assume the risk. Why? Because the danger uneven surfaces at a tennis ranch was pretty obvious. Like, it comes with the territory of playing tennis on a more rustic court.
I can see that.
But the big difference in Pachanka is that there wasn't another reasonable option. And the argument was that Rogers Construction basically created the need for Pachanka to face that risk in the first place. With a tennis ranch, the risk was just part of the environment and the activity, not something directly caused by negligence.
Okay, so it's about separating risks that are just naturally part of doing something from risks that someone forces you to deal with because they messed up.
Exactly. That's the key. And the Nebraska Supreme Court made it clear that courts shouldn't be too quick to accept that assumption of risk argument, especially when the person who got hurt didn't really have a choice because of how the defendant acted.
This case definitely makes you think twice about what seems like a simple legal idea. So to wrap things up, what's the big takeaway here?
The big takeaway is this. Courts don't just look at the fact that someone faced a risk. They look at everything around that decision. Was it a truly free choice? Or was the person kind of boxed in by the other party's actions? Whether there were other reasonable options is super important in figuring this out.
This has been a really interesting deep dive into Pachunka v. Rogers construction. Really highlights how even basic legal ideas can have all these twists and turns that can change a whole case.
No doubt. That reasonable alternative principle is something to keep in mind.
So for all of you listening, think about your own lives. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you had to take a risk because of someone else's actions? Did you really have a choice? As we saw with Pachunka, the law cares about those choices, or the lack of them. It makes you wonder, how much control do we really have when we're dealing with risks that other people create?
That's a great question to consider.
And that's a wrap for today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.